Jesus is real to me. Oh, yes, gives me the victory. So many people down him, I can't live without. That is, come on. So real to me, real, real. Jesus is real to me. Oh, yes. So many people doubt him. Morning, he's real.
Yes, he is.
Real.
He's real.
Come on.
To me.
Come on.
So many people doubt him. Without him.
That is why I love him so. He's so real to me.
Yes,
in the evening, he's real.
He's real.
Real.
He's real.
Jesus is real to me.
Yes, he's.
Is real to me. What a great day it is for us to be alive, alert, and active. For it is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. He has navigated our niches and allowed us the privilege of being participatory in this place of praise one more time. Certainly we thank him for his goodness. He has blessed us beyond our deservance. He has blessed us beyond enumeration, and we ought to be glad about it. We thank God for everything that has transpired today. God, he's a God who takes the good and the bad and whip it together for our good. Thank God for all of you. Thank God for these preachers and the persons of Reverend McCoy and Reverend Mims. Thank God for these deacons and trustees who have devoted us in song, prayer, and scripture. That our hearts are postured and in tune with God. We're on the right frequency. Amen. Thank God for Miss Treats that has blessed us in song. Come on, bless God for amen. What a voice. What a voice. Thank God for the musicians and thank God for all of you. It's just good for us to be here. I think I saw my classmate, Shonda Douglas. Amen. She's from Stark for my classmates. Come on, stand up, let them see you. She's been coming for a while and for some Sundays. And one Sunday I was out and she was here. She texted the wife and told her that she was in service. Stark for Mississippi. You know, we're trying to take over. But thank God for your presence. Thank God for all of our guests that stood today. We thank God for you. Your presence means so much to us. And we pray and hope that something is said and done that will have a profound impact upon your life, that your life never be the same in Jesus' name. Listen, two things I want to bring to your attention before I preach. On Tuesday, we will have a prayer meeting the whole hour. We will pray. Listen, we're in praying times. The Bible says man ought always pray and not faint. So please register to be a part of the prayer meeting 6 o'clock Tuesday, 6 to 7. Now, we've been coming 5:30, and you're still welcome to do that 5:30 to pray. And we're going to continue in prayer for the complete hour. The Lord laid it on my heart. We need to pray more, and we need to pray corporately, not just individually, but corporately. So Tuesday, if you haven't registered, please register. The Bible says that if we humble ourselves and pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, we'll hear from heaven, and he will heal the land. Our land needs to be healed. Amen. So if you haven't already, please register to pray. On Tuesday, and then the prayer retreat on September the 25th. You've heard from Deacon Kelly concerning our prayer retreat. I'm excited about it. Dr. Calvert, he will be here, and he's ready. He's ready already. He said the Lord was speaking to him as I was speaking to him in terms of sharing with him what we're trying to do and all of that. So want to make sure me and you register for that. Now, Deacon Kelly made an appeal that we need the help of our women, amen, to encourage our brothers to be a part. You know, one thing I do know about women, you all are powerful. You all can encourage and support. And that means a lot. And so if you just say to him, I think you need to be there. Amen. I think he's coming. And then he asked for monetary support, $5. If we can get you to do that, women and men, not just the men, but women and men, if you would support this with $5, we will be tremendously blessed. And I think we'll have a wonderful time in the Lord. Amen. Then make sure you register for our marriage ministry meeting Saturday at 5. Saturday at 5. We are creating marriage community, and I think it's important for us to emphasize that marriage community in our church that will spill over and bleed over into the community. And so if you are married and you haven't made it yet, come and introduce yourself to the marriage community. We have had a wonderful time. Whether you're young or old, listen, we're not trying to say that you don't know how to do it. But if you have been married for an extended period of time, you will be a great example to others who are struggling. Amen. They need to see a visual of how to do it. A visual aid, and you are a walking example of how to do it. So come on, if you have boyfriend or girlfriend and you thinking about hooking up, let us help you do it right. So marriage ministry meeting Saturday at 5. All right. 1 Kings chapter 18. First Kings chapter 18. beginning with verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. That's the word of the Lord for the people of God. The word of God is blessed. Look with me again, if you will, at verse 44 and verse 46. Verse 44 says, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea. And he went up out of the sea like a man's hand. Verse 46, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Look at someone, if you will, and say, seeing the hand of God in your crisis. Look at another and say, seeing the hand of God in your crisis. Shout with me, if you will, at the virtual audience and say, seeing the hand of God in your crisis. Amen. The book of 1st and 2nd Kings have an unremitting and unrelenting theme that involved every king and the path they chose to take. The Lord dealt with each king according to his actions. The Bible says the wickedness of King Ahab was more dreadful than all of his predecessors. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all of the kings of Israel that were before him. The nation of Israel experienced a famine, a drought, because of Ahab's sin. Under Ahab, the people of God worshiped the false god Baal. Baal, the fertility god. Baal was Jezebel's god. Ahab, in a desire to please his wife, erected a temple and placed an altar in the temple for the worship of Baal in Samaria. In their worship of Baal, they rebelled against the commandments of God. You remember when God and Moses were together on the mountain, that Moses received from God two stones, and on the stones were carved 10 commandments. And one of the commandments is, I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shall have no other gods before me.
Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Do not pay homage to idols, nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, Israel, under the leadership of Ahab, acted against God in their worship of the idol God Baal. And the consequences of their action was that the Lord commanded Ahab to proclaim a drought upon the land. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, Elijah, by the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, proclaimed a drought on the land. For 3.5 years there would be no rain. For 3.5 years there would be no dew that would fall upon the earth. Let me hasten to tell you, brothers and sisters, when there is no dew, when there is no rain, there is dryness, dehydration, and death. When there is no rain, vegetation die. When there is no rain, animals die. When there is no rain, human beings die. They have nothing to eat. They have nothing to drink. Listen, disobeying God caused God to give them or allow them to experience a tough and trying time. The word of God says the way of the transgressor is hard. When we decide to disobey God, disregard God, when we decide to give ourselves to disobedience unto God's holy commandment, God knows how to dry up some things in your life. He knows how to dry up some things. He knows how to cut some stuff away. He knows how to remove his hand so that times will be hard. Here it is, 3.5 years, no rain. And chapter 18 picks up after 3.5 years of no rain and no dew. King Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all the fountains of water, and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and the mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. Things were bad. Things were so terrible that the brook Cherith dried up. Things were so bad that when God moved the prophet Elijah from Cherith to Zarephath, he met a widow at the city gates gathering sticks so that she could go in with a little bit of meal and oil and cook a cake, eat it, and had plans of dying. Things were so bad that animals were dying because they had lack of food. Humans were dying. Things were so bad that it seemed hopeless. But there's good news in the text, because irregardless of how bad things were, God gave the prophet a message to share with the people that there is hope and hydration. Somebody here today needed to hear what I just said. There is hope and hydration. All is not lost. I know we have lost some people. I know we have lost some things. I know we have lost some jobs. I know we have lost some peace of mind. But all is not lost. There's hope and hydration in the text. Chapter 18, the Lord said to Elijah, go and show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. The Bible says while Elijah was on his way to find Ahab, he ran into Ahab's servant, Obadiah. Elijah said to Obadiah, go tell the king that I need to see him because I have a word for him from the Lord. Obadiah being afraid, because if he would have gone and shared that word with King Ahab and Elijah wasn't in the place that he told him that he would be in, it would cost him his life. But nevertheless, he went and met Ahab. And upon meeting Ahab, Ahab began to blame him for the terrible condition that had befallen the land. He said, it's because of you that we are experiencing this famine. But listen, every now and then you have to speak truth to power. Because Ahab was the king, the prophet said, no, it's not because of me, it's because of you and your wicked wife that we are experiencing this famine. Because if you had not been trying to appease your wife by erecting a temple and putting there in the temple an altar for the worship of Baal, we wouldn't be in this terrible mess that we are in. Listen, every now and then you have to watch wicked people. Because what wicked people will do is blame you for their condition. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. You have to watch people who's always pointing the finger at somebody else for where they are and what they're experiencing in life. Ahab said to Elijah, it's because of you. But Elijah said to Ahab, no, it's because of you.
That's right.
And what you have caused the people of God to do. You led them away from God. Knowing the commandments of God, you led them away from God. You better watch all of this sugary preaching. Folks telling you what you want to hear. Sometimes what you want to hear is not what you need to hear. Sometimes you need God to get up in your grill and look you straight in your eyes and tell you you're wrong and you need to repent. You need to turn from your ways. Every now and then you need God to send somebody who's bold enough to tell you that if you don't quit what you're doing, it may just cost you more than you want to pay. The prophet said, no, it's you. You the reason that this nation is experiencing this mess, this calamity, this hardship. It's because of false worship. I think I need to pause parenthetically to say to us today that the sins of our day are not unlike, which means they are like the sins of Elijah's day. You may not be worshiping Baal, but you may be worshiping Betty or Bobby. You may not be worshiping one by the name of Baal, but you're worshiping your money and materialistic things. You may not be worshiping Baal, but you're worshiping your job. You're worshiping your good time. He says, you are the reason. See, when you fail to worship God as God, God has a way of getting your attention. He has a way of showing you his sovereignty. The Lord has a way of showing you that he's in charge. He has a way of showing you that he rules and super rules heaven and earth. God has a way of showing you his power. God says, all right, you want to worship Baal? I want to show you that Baal can't do for you what I can do. Baal, the fertility god. Baal was supposed to be able to make it rain. He was responsible for bringing fertility upon the earth. He says, well, what I'm going to do is shut up heaven. And you call on Baal. And see if Baal can do for you what only I can do. Three things in the text that warrants our attention if we'll see the hand of God in our crisis. Number one, there's a point of restoration. 1 Kings 18:1, the Lord spoke to Elijah and commanded Elijah to go to Ahab and tell Ahab that he was sending rain upon the earth. 1 Kings 18:41, after 3.5 years of drought, 3 years of no rain, 3 years of famine in the land, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Elijah proclaimed restoration in verse 1, but in verse 41, he assures restoration. 41, Elijah said to Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. I can hear it coming. He says, I'm in tune with God and I'm on the right frequency. I can hear it coming. Go up and have yourself a banquet. I can hear it coming. Go on and have yourself a good time. I can hear it coming. Go home and smile as hard as you can. He says, because I can hear it coming. Go on and spread the news. I can hear it. Because I'm on the right frequency. He says that's a point of restoration. If there's a point of restoration, there's a promise of God. God made a promise to Elijah. It's going to rain. Verse 1, it's going to rain. Verse 41, he assures him of the rain. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For faithful is he that promised. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Numbers 23 verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said he shall not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? When God makes a promise, you can hang on to it. Listen, in your times of pandemic, in your times of pain, in your times of problems, in your time of problematic people, you need to hang on to the promises of God. If you don't have anything else, you need a word from God. You don't need a word from the news anchor. You don't need a word from the government. You need a word from God. So you can put your faith on something foundational. You need a word from the Lord. You need the promise of God. Not only the promise of God, but then if you would see the hand of God in your crisis, there's a preliminary work of Elijah. Before rain returned, the people's hearts had to be turned to God. Verse 39, the people fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. They fell on their faces because Elijah went upon Mount Carmel with the 450 false prophets of Baal and the 400 false prophets of the grove. 850 false prophets. He met them on Mount Carmel and he says, you build an altar for your God. And I'll build an altar to my God. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. You know the text. They built their altar. And he says, light no fire. In other words, don't put any fire under the altar. It has to come from above. They called on their God. But their God didn't answer. They kept calling on their God. But their God didn't answer. And Elijah around noon began to mock. He said, well, maybe your God is hard of hearing. Just keep on calling on your God. They called on their God and their God didn't answer. He says, well, maybe your God has gone on a journey and he's not able to see about you. He says, just keep on calling on your God. And they kept on calling on their God. And their God didn't answer. And they began to cut themselves with stone. And jump up on the altar and tore down the altar.
That's right.
Elijah says, that's all right. Build it back.
That's right.
And he says, I tell you what I want you to do. I'm building an altar.
That's right.
And he says, light no fire under it. Get me some water and pour water on the altar. He ran and got the water and poured water on the altar. He says, no, that's not enough. He says, go and get some more water. They ran and got some more water and poured some more water on the altar. He says, go on one more time. You know, the old preacher would say, one for the Father. Yeah. One for the Son. Somebody in here knows about the old church, and one for the Holy Ghost. They went and got three things of water and soaked the altar. The Bible says that the altar was so soaked that the water ran down in the trenches and filled the trenches. And he called on God. And you know, when you call on God, you don't have to call long. Somebody here knows just a little prayer. You don't have to be poetic. You don't have to be eloquent in your speech when you're talking to God. You know how some people trying to impress other people. You know, just a little simple prayer like, Lord, have mercy. Somebody here has prayed that prayer. Lord, have mercy. You've been in between a rock and a hard place, and all you could say is, Lord, have mercy. You've been without, down to your last dime, and all you could say is, Lord, have mercy. Children in trouble, all you could say is, Lord, have mercy. You didn't know how you were going to make it, just got fired off of your job. All you could say is, Lord, have mercy. He walked out of your life. She walked out of your life. All you could say, Lord, have mercy. And if I had time, I would pull the house. Didn't God come when you called him? If you call him and you call him right, he'll show up. He'll show up on time. Somebody can be a witness when you call at him. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. He called on him and God showed up. Lapped up the altar. Lapped up the water from the trenches. And Elijah had the false prophets killed. Preliminary work. Sometimes God has to turn our hearts back to him before he's able to bless us. He has to turn our hearts right before he fulfills the promise that he has made unto us. That's the point of restoration. But notice the prayer for restoration. Verse 42 says, Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel and cast himself down upon the earth, putting his head on his knees. Place of prayer. He was on Mount Carmel. Significance of Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel is the place where Elijah confronted the false prophets. Carmel is the place God answered by fire. Carmel is the place where Israel repented. Carmel is the place that is known as a fruitful field and an offering up of fervent prayer. He went to a place he knew God would show up. Listen, you need a place where you have had an epiphany, a run-in with God. You need a place where God has shown up in your life. You need a prayer closet. Do I have a witness? You know, the war room, you know, you need somewhere where you can call on him and you know he's a present help in your times of trouble. He went to that place. He went to Karma and he called on the name of the Lord. But not only the place, but notice his posture. He went there and he put his head between his knees. In other words, he had his face between his knees. One writer says the posture witnessed to the intensity of his supplication. In other words, he was not playing when he went in the prayer room. Listen, when you go in before God, you need some intensity with your supplication. In other words, he put his heart in his prayer. He didn't just go up and just offer up a few words to God and come out. No, he put his heart. He spilled his heart. Listen, when you speak with God, God wants to hear from your heart. See, prayers from the heart reaches the heart of God. You remember when Israel was in trouble. They were in Egypt and they began to cry out to God. They were crying out from the heart. And God saw their tears and heard their cries. Listen, when you cry and you are serious with God, don't you let the devil fool you like God didn't hear you. Don't you let the devil fool you like God doesn't have any intentions of answering you. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. God may not have it within his will to answer you the same day, but he is going to answer you. He fell on his knees with his face between his knees. And he was praying a purposeful prayer. He sought God for rain because God promised him rain. The Bible says in Zechariah 10:1, ask the Lord for rain in the times of latter rain. The Lord will make lightning clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone, grass in the field. There was a point of restoration, prayer for restoration. But Noah's the portrait of restoration. When he finished praying, God said to Elijah, go tell Ahab's servant to go look out over the expanse of the Mediterranean Sea. He says, go, and there's a sign that the Lord is sending rain. The Bible says the servant of Ahab ran to the top of the mountain, looked out over the mountain. The first time, and there was no sign of rain, he came back to Elijah and said, there is no sign of rain. He says, go back. You know, sometimes you just can't come one time and expect an answer from the Lord. You got to keep on coming until God shows you the evidence of his promise. He went a second and third and fourth time, and he looked out over the expanse of the Mediterranean Sea, and he saw no sign. He ran back to Elijah and said, there's still no sign of rain. He says, keep on going back. He went back the fifth and the sixth time. And he looked out over the expanse of the Mediterranean Sea, and there was still no evidence of rain. So he ran back to the prophet and said, there is no good news. There is still no evidence of rain. He says, well, go back a seventh time. And when he went back on the seventh time, he looked out over the expanse of the Mediterranean Sea, and there, out of the sea, was a cloud in the shape of a man's hand. And what I like about the cloud that says hand, the word hand is cuff, which means the hollow of the hand. God got the whole world in the hollow of his hand. He came back to the prophet and said, there's a cloud in the shape of a man's hand. He says, well, God is sending rain. I came to tell somebody that God is sending restoration. Don't you give up because you went one time. Don't you give up because you've been two times or three times or four times. You got to keep on coming. You got to keep on singing. You got to keep on praising. You got to keep on praying. And then when God said enough is enough, he's going to send you a portrait of his promise, that the hand of the Lord is in your crisis. I thank God for the hand, because it's the same hand that they nailed to the cross. I thank God for the hand. It's the same hand that held him on the cross. He died on the cross, but that's not the end of the story. He died on the cross, but early Sunday morning, he raised that same hand and said, all power, heaven and earth in his hands. Is there anybody in the room? No, you in the hand of the Lord. You ought to point at somebody hand and said, we're going to survive this because we are in his hands. You need to point at somebody and say, God is going to see you through this because we're in his hands. And in his hand is the best place to be. In his hand is the power to create. In his hand, no weapon formed against you going to prosper. In his hand, no enemy can prevail. Come on, shout hand. The hand of the Lord was upon Elijah. He was so empowered that when he ran down from the mountain, he caught up with the chariot because the hand of the Lord is upon him. Come on and shout hand. It's going to be all right because of the hand of God. Come on, shout hand. It's going to be all right because of the hand of God. Come on and shout hand. Come on, I can't hear you. Come on and shout hand. It's going to be all right because of the hand of the Lord. Now let me ask you my question, and I'm going to my seat. Ain't the Lord all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say, yeah. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Look at somebody, if you will, and help me encourage him. Look at him and tell him the hand of the Lord is upon you. I can hear the abundance of rain. I can sense the sign of rain. God is sending restoration. Times are tough. But God, he gives us his promise. And when you don't have anything else, hang on to the promise of God. I'm going to make it through this. We're coming out. God is going to see us through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Everyone to your feet if you will. Help me invite somebody to Christ. If you're here and you're not saved, come give the Lord your life while the blood is running warm in your vein. He loves you. He cares for you. The most precious part of you is not what you dress up, not what you see in the mirror, but your soul. And you need soul salvation. Give your soul the attention it needs by giving it Christ. If you're here and you're not saved, come accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. And he will save your soul. He will save you. He will keep you. He will hold you in the hollow of his hands. Jesus made that promise in John 10. He said, you're in my hands. I got you. And not only are you in my hands, but you're in the Father's hand. There's authoritative assurance. And he says, no one is able to pluck you out. If you're not saved, you're not in the hand. But if you would like to be in his hand, come, come, give the Lord your life. Secondly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem Baptist Church on your heart, you can be a part of us. Through our worship experience, in-person worship experience. You can be a part of us through our e-church. If you're in a distant place and the Lord has laid this church on your heart, I will shepherd you through the outlets, through telephone, through Zoom, Facebook, whatever means we need. But listen, we want you to be a part of a family. I want you to be a part of a church. Thirdly, if you're here and you need to be restored. Problems have the propensity of robbing us of energy and strength. The Lord, His word, will restore us. And you may be one that needs special prayer. Listen, I know what it's like to go through. I don't live in an imaginative world. I live in a real world. I have problems too. I can admit that. You know, some people are too afraid to admit they have problems. I have problems. I have problems within, and I have problems without. But I know God. I run to Him. And I cast all of my cares on Him, because I know He cares for me. Listen, if you're here and need to be restored, come. If you're here in need of a church home, come. If you're here in need of salvation, come. Jesus says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. In Revelation 3:20, He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I won't take a pry bar and break into your heart, but I'm going to wait on you to open it. And if you open it, I'll come in and I'll have sweet fellowship with you. Hallelujah. I'm glad I feel Him in my heart. Is there anybody else? He's in my heart. Come today. 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 Listen, does everyone have a couplet? A communion couplet? If you don't have a couplet, raise your hand, please. Raise your hand. The deacons will get to you. Yes, He is. Father, we thank You today for this time of remembrance, praise, Lord, of Your Son Christ, how He died in our stead for our good. Thank You for Jesus, Lord, that He stayed on that cross and gave His life so that we might live. And prior to going to the cross, Lord, He met in the upper room with His disciples and said that they were to do this in remembrance of Him and the great sacrifice He made, the salvific work, the sacrificial work that He made on Calvary. Lord, we accept it. And I pray that this is outward evidence of an inward reality, that we believe Jesus in our hearts and we are honoring Him today for being our Lord and Savior. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. Lord, look upon us and be pleased at how we give our hearts to You. Look upon us and be pleased at what we are doing today. Bless those that are here under the sound of my voice and those who are participating through the virtual outlet. Bless them. And I pray that this prayer will reach you for them. In Jesus' name. Broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Take, eat in remembrance of Him. Shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Take, drink. May the grace of God the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus Christ. Rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. And every heart say amen.